Thank you, Brother Jerry. Ms. Lisa, if you have your Bibles today, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians. This morning, as we are on the eve of Christmas, in a few weeks, obviously, it's the season. I want to simplify a few truths that you already are aware of and know. But we know that truth's important, amen? Let me mention this too about the Lottie Moon offering. I know we're going to take that up in a little bit. To my understanding, unless it's changed, and I don't believe it has, 100% of what you give goes to the missionaries, goes directly to missionaries. We give to the association, give to the convention, which is all good. It's filtered through administration and stuff like that. But these special offerings, Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, Myers Mallory, it goes directly to the missionaries. And so that's the beauty of really saying, God, help me to give sacrificially, because I know it's going directly to the ones that are on the field. Just like, you know, when the Gideons, you have a Gideon and you give to the Gideons, 100% goes to the Bibles. It's a very, very worthy cause for you to give God's money to. So, truth is important. We know many in this world doesn't really care for truth. But they're going to have to deal with it one day. They're going to have to deal with the absolute truth, and that is the Lord Jesus. We all are going to have to deal with Him. And so as a teacher, I run across things from time to time, and parents sometimes will say things that are a little bit unusual. And I ran across a few actual excuses for kids being late for school. This one says, "Dear school," instead of "please excuse," the parent put, "please accuse." So I guess they're wanting them to be guilty. "Please accuse John for being absent on January 29th, 30, 31, 32, and 33. A lot of days in January, isn't it? Another school excuse says, instead of "Chris has an ache in his side," this parent put, "Chris has an acre in his side." Another one said, "Mary couldn't come to school because she was bothered by very close veins." I don't know what she was trying to say there, but very close veins. And then, unfortunately, here's another one that parents should have been a little bit more familiar with English class, I guess, listening in English. "Please excuse Ray on Friday because he has loose vowels," they put. Loose vowels. Well, I don't know. I don't know what all you can imagine. I run across a story of a gentleman named Dave Hager. Dave Hager, who works as an umpire in a recreational league, an adult recreational baseball league, and he was pulled over by a highway patrolman in Colorado for driving a little bit too fast. And he tried to talk the officer out of giving him a ticket. Y'all ever done that? He tried to do that. And the officer said, "Just take it up in court." And so at the first game of this adult recreational baseball season, Dave Hager, he was the umpire. So the guy that got pulled over was the umpire. And guess who's the first batter up to the plate? The highway patrolman. And so when the officer stepped up to the batter's box and recognized who the umpire was, he kind of had a long pause, and the officer says, "So how did the ticket thing go? How did it turn out?" And so the umpire says, "You better swing at everything." That's how it went. You know, I don't know if you ever had loose vowels or closed veins, but I want to speak this morning about some truths I think that I believe Christmas Story really, really teaches us. Real simple truths today. So here we go. You know, trying to explain as I share with the children is the Christmas Story can be a little confusing because of all the stuff that's put in the middle of it and thrown on top of it. And And so there's so much tradition mixed with biblical truth, and it's sometimes hard to tell the children about Jesus because of all of Santa Claus and the snowmen and all this other stuff mixed with wise men and things. But our verse today sums it up, I believe, as easy as any verse, as easy even as some of the verses in the gospel. Our verse today, God put in here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, is fascinating to me. One verse tucked away in the New Testament, and we find the 1, 2, 3s, or you could even say the ABCs of Christmas. If you're able to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read that one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. God's word says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake," I think I have it on the screen if you don't have your Bible, "for your sake, he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. Isn't it fascinating to have this whole story of Christmas in one simple verse here? It's amazing to me. And so here we go. Number one, I want you to know, from this verse it says that Jesus was rich. It says he was rich. I don't know Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or anybody, and I don't really care to know them. But actually, I don't know anybody who lights their cigars with $100 bills like some of these guys. But dear friend, no one today, not even the wealth of Solomon, who was wealthier than anybody that's ever lived, no one today or ever, the Bible says, can touch the Lord Jesus, because he was rich, it says. He is all, and he owns it all. And he is before all, the Bible says. He left heaven to come down here to earth. And he was rich. That's what it says in this verse. He had it all, and he made it all. We know that. The Bible says, a few verses that you may have heard me say them this morning, all the glory of God radiates from Jesus, it says. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Colossians, those two verses, all things hold together by the Lord Jesus. He holds everything together. He holds the atmosphere together. He holds the stars together. He holds the galaxies together. Everything is held together by him. And then Colossians 1:16, reason he holds it together, because he is God. He made everything by him, by the Lord Jesus. All things were created by him. And so he is in charge. Dear friend, he is rich, the Bible says. Think about it this way. The 10 richest men who ever lived, the 10 most powerful rulers who ever lived, the 10 wisest men who ever lived, throw in the 10 mightiest generals who ever lived, and add in the 10 strongest men or athletes in every sport who ever lived, the 10 most greatest orators or speakers who ever lived, and the 10 greatest politician leaders who ever lived, and add in 10 other great men and women that you want to add in, dear friend. Add up all their wealth, all their power, all of their influence and skill and genius and wisdom and insight and ability, and it's only a drop in the bucket, drop in the ocean. It's only a grain of sand compared to the Lord Jesus. He is and was rich, the Bible says. Just like Columbus and all the other notable men, he didn't leave heaven in search of riches. He had it all. He wasn't looking for money. All the money in the universe was his and is his for the taking. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, existed from all eternity in heaven, not as a pauper or a beggar, but in glorious splendor. The Bible says he owned it all. Paul reminds us that he was rich, he says. But that's only the first part of the the story in this one verse. Paul says that Jesus became poor. He was rich, and he became poor. What does it mean? He was rich in eternity. He became poor in time. He left heaven. He left heaven for a remote village in a forgotten place. He left heaven to join a despised race, the Hebrew race. He left heaven to be born of a teenager, peasant girl in a stable. He left heaven to be wrapped in rags. He left heaven to be placed in a feeding trough instead of a fancy room or any of that other. Dear friend, he became poor. It doesn't say he was made poor. That's what happens to you and I. We're made poor by our circumstances, by our situations. But he himself, of his own free will, of his own volition, became poor. He chose to become poor for you and I. And that's something you and I would never do, probably. We would never consider if we were rich becoming poor. But he did. He voluntarily gave up the riches of heaven for the poverty of this earth. He who was richer than any man ever gave it up freely and became poorer than any man ever. We understand riches and we understand poverty. But to choose poverty, again, is something you and I would never do. But that's exactly the heart of the Savior. That's exactly the heart of the one who came to die on the cross and died for our sins. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus coming for our and dying for our sins. The richest person in the universe, of his own free will, became poorer than any other poor. Theologians have a word for this. It's called the incarnation. And you've heard it before. The idea comes from John chapter 1, verse 14. And it says, the Word, I don't have it on the screen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. That little phrase, became flesh, essentially means in the Greek that he wrapped himself up with flesh. Jesus became flesh. He wrapped himself in human flesh. That's what he did in Bethlehem. It was God entering the human race in the form of a man, something you and I would have never done. You may have heard the illustration of an ant farm. Here's the way it goes. If I had some ants that I really loved, how could I communicate my love to those little bitty ants? I could stand up and shout to them, I love you, ants. But because they're ants, they don't speak the language I speak. They wouldn't understand. I could write them a letter, but they, because they don't understand my language, they couldn't read it. I could shrink down to their size, to the size of an ant, but they wouldn't recognize me. I look a little different than they do. But there's one thing that I can do, that I could do. I could take on the form of an ant. And I could be born as an ant. And I could live as an ant. And I could communicate as they do. Then, and only then, could I find a way to say, I love you, ants. Dear friend, that's exactly what God did. Exactly what he did. He did the one thing that we could understand. We can understand him now because of what he did. He took on our form. He became like us all the way from birth to adulthood. He understands all the problems of this world, every single one of them. And that's why Jesus, that's a Christmas story. Jesus saying, I love you. I love you, mankind. I love you, humans. In the Christmas story, there is a frightened father. There's so much going on. There's an exhausted mother, a dirty stable, swaddling clothes, and a feeding trough, and so much more. But I want you to know, dear friend, not only did he was rich and he became poor, but the fascinating thing about the Christmas story is he became poor that you may become rich. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't he so wonderful? Oh, what a Savior, the song goes, that you and I may become rich. I'm not talking about financially. We're talking about spiritually. We have the God of the universe as our boss, as our master, as our Lord. Not because we're special, but because we're submissive, because we repented and believed, we've yielded to Him, we've trusted Him, that you might become rich. The purpose of Christmas is that Jesus came so that we who are poor would become rich. Well, how does it happen? Most of you are familiar with the term guilt by association. That means if you hang around with a fella who's committed a crime, and you're associated with that, you can be charged as well. It's a close relationship deal. You're guilty as well. Dear friend, the same thing happens with the Christmas story. By virtue of my relationship and your relationship with the Lord Jesus, all the riches, all the power, all the prestige of His good name are ours. He has given us these riches. But someone will say, you don't deserve that, or we don't deserve that. You're right. We don't deserve that, but God doesn't grade on a curve. He grades on His mercy and His grace. Excuse me. If we deserved it, we wouldn't need Jesus. If we could just be good people and be a good citizen and be moral and all of that and get into heaven, then we wouldn't need Jesus. That's why Nicodemus, the best man, perhaps one of the best people who's ever walked the earth, very, very good man, had to be saved. Jesus said, you must be born again. And so it doesn't matter how good we are. Doesn't matter how many, doesn't matter any of that stuff. Doesn't matter how many crimes we hadn't committed. Doesn't matter how many crimes we have committed. If we surrender the Lord Jesus, we become rich, the Bible says. Dear friend, we all once was poor. I was once poor. Now I'm rich. Why? Because of the grace of God. Amen? And it happened because of Christmas. Because who was rich became poor for our sake. So that you and I, through His poverty, may become rich. And so here's a question for you this morning. Real simple. Real simple question. As you kind of ponder your thoughts and you think about life, that's, have you found the Lord Jesus? Some people search in the wrong area. They're searching for the wrong things. They're looking for help through therapists and through other people and through education, and all those things are good. But dear friend, this is a spiritual life we're living. And the only way to really, the only way to really have a fulfilled life, not a perfect life, we're not going to have a perfect life, but the only way to have meaning in this life is found through the Lord Jesus. I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you're not saved, repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus. I don't know, maybe you are saved, but you've just gotten off track a little bit. And this past week or last few months or whatever, you just kind of deviated and uh, and you're and you're not where you should be. We'll never be where we should be. Let me say that. You're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But we sometimes we do need to work on our personal relationship. We let that get off track a little bit, where we don't spend enough time with the Lord Jesus. Maybe that's where you are. If you are, just repent of that and say, God, restore me back to my fellowship with you, that deep abiding love with you, wherever it may be. God could be calling you for something else. Whatever it may be, it could be a part of us here as we try to reach this community and be the people God wants us to be. It could be follow Him in believers' baptism. I don't know. Perhaps you were saved at one point and you've never been obedient in believers' baptism. Whatever it may be, as we pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for sending your Son Jesus down here to this earth that we may become rich, because He was rich and became poor, that we might be children, your children. Lord, thank you for those that are saved in this room. Lord, if you're dealing with someone that's not, I pray, Lord, that right where they sit, they'll just ask you to save them. And they'll repent as a sinner, and they'll by faith trust you and believe what the Bible says about you and the Lord Jesus. Father, just thank you again for another day that you've made. Have your way in our remaining moments. In Christ's holy name, amen. What number, brother?